Radio Academy podcast. And a big thank you to Sean Thorne for last week's Foot in the Door Glasgow event episode. This week, we talk slow news with Claudia Williams from Tortoise Media. Claudia is a journalist, reporter, and host of the Slow Newscast, their weekly podcast that takes an in-depth look at a news story from the UK or around the world. Tortoise Media doesn't do breaking news. They aim to look at the forces behind what's driving the news. So I started by asking Claudia what sets Tortoise Media apart from other news outlets.
So I think the founding principle of Tortoise is what sets us apart. We were started nearly 5 years ago now by James Harding, who's the former editor of BBC News and The Times. And the point was really to try to set up a new kind of newsroom rather than a newsroom that was kind of reacting to daily news stories, chasing the news, and in his opinion, kind of missing the story. The point of Tortoise was to try to take things a little bit more slowly, hence the name Tortoise, and do something called slow news. So we are a slow news newsroom. What we mean by that, beyond just the name, is that we're really focused on what we call the forces that are driving the news. So rather than trying to cover every single story without any depth, we're aiming to look at a few stories and really reveal kind of the forces that are driving them and what's going on beneath the surface. Try to see a fuller picture, try to see a bigger picture, and also crucially investigate stories, investigate what's unseen, investigate what isn't being reported, and try to make sense of it.
One of the things on the website I noticed was not breaking news, but what's driving the news. You don't chase the news. You take a really long, considered time to delve deeply into a story.
So I think there's kind of two elements to what we do. And the first part would be really familiar to most journalists, which is we are all journalists, we're all reporters. So we are doing the kind of beat journalism that people would recognise. So we do go to, you know, press conferences and things like that. But that's only a kind of a small part of our reporting. And actually a lot of what we're doing most of the time is kind of deeper investigative work that might take a really long time. And you might start with a story in January and then, you know, months and months later, you might end up with something in September, something, you know, quite often we're going to battle behind the scenes. Often, you know, there's been kind of court battles that we've had to go through to be able to publish the stories that we've worked on. But as you say, the kind of the majority of what we're doing is trying to be investigative and analytical.
We live in a world of breaking news, constant alerts on our phone. News organisations are always trying to be the first ones to break a story. Tortoise doesn't do that. How long would a journalist at Tortoise typically spend on a story?
Oh, it's a good question because it totally depends. It totally depends on the kind of story and where it will end up. Focusing specifically on our podcasts, we have three separate strands almost of our reporting. So we have kind of limited series, the multi-part series that come out a few times a year. We have a weekly podcast called The Slow Newscast, which is an investigative episode that comes out once a week. And then we have a daily podcast. And then each of those different podcasts, if you're working on them, you'd get a very different amount of time for how long you might be working on that story. So some of the series that we've worked on, they can take months and months. We just had one series come out called Who Trolled Amber, which is by my colleagues Alexi Mostris and Xavier Greenwood. And I think they've been working on that for the best part of a year for that series.
What comes to mind when you think of Amber Heard? A liar? A survivor? A narcissist? The trial of Depp v. Heard was a global phenomenon, but I want to know, was it a fair fight? I'm Alexi Mostris, the host of Sweet Bobby and Hoaxed. In my new podcast, I'm investigating whether Amber Heard was the victim of an organised trolling campaign. Just search for Who Trolled Amber wherever you get your podcasts.
And then you get episodes of the Slow Newscast, which is our weekly podcast, which might take, you know, 3 or 4 weeks, depending on the type of story. But I think the real focus is that we give stories the time that they need to kind of get over the line. And as a journalist, it's enormously rewarding to know that you don't need to push something out within 24 hours. You can work on it and see what comes from it and hopefully get a better story because of it.
How long have you been with Tortoise and what kind of areas do you work in within the organisation?
Oh, so I've been at Tortoise now, gosh, try to think about it, almost 4 years, I think, or come 4.5 years now, actually, 4.5 years. So I joined towards the end of 2019. I've done a lot of different jobs while I've been here. I started off as a newsletter reporter on our newsletter, The Daily Sensemaker, which is where most of our written reporting goes. So that is where we quite often do break stories or kind of draw attention to stories that other people might not be covering. So I started on that. And then during the kind of 2019-2020 period at Tortoise, we started making more and more podcasts and started realizing that actually they were really working for us and we were attracting a younger audience. And I started working on the podcast team there. So I've worn a lot of different hats. At the moment, I am the host of the Slow Newscast, which is our investigative show that comes out every week. So I'm a host and reporter on there. And I've also worked on our multi-part series like Sweet Bobby and Left to Die.
What did you do before Tortoise? Tell me a bit about your background.
So I joined Tortoise from the New York Times, where I was working on the opinion desk. And before that, I was a researcher and a reporter at The Week magazine. So I'd never done any audio properly before I joined Tortoise, but I had in kind of my spare time been teaching myself audition. I'd gone to a training week with Bauer Media where they were kind of teaching people to get into how to get into radio, how to get into audio. So I kind of knew in the back of my head that podcasts and radio was where I wanted to end up. And it worked out very nicely for me that Tortoise made the same decision at the same time while I was there.
You mentioned the podcasts and that Tortoise moved more into podcasts and attracts a younger listener. Who would you say are your listeners? Who are you talking to?
Our listeners skew female and they skew young compared to a lot of different newsrooms, which is one of the brilliant things about podcasting, I think, is that we've been able to access a totally different kind of audience that we might do otherwise. We have a large audience between kind of like 18 to 35 and then kind of under 55 as well. I don't think we necessarily have a specific person, or at least I don't have a specific person in my mind when I'm reporting. But I think one of the crucial things that we always want to make sure, and I always want to make sure with our reporting, is that we're not making any assumptions about knowledge. So we're not assuming that people have the same experiences, and we're not assuming that people have the same understanding or even cultural reference points, or, you know, kind of the kind of quips that you might make in a script. You have to make sure that they're going to appeal to a really broad range of people, because we know that podcasts can reach a hugely diverse audience, and that's what we would want. And that's what we want to maintain. And so that our kind of aim is to make podcasts that are accessible and that you can have really deeply investigated and knotty and thorny issues and make them understandable to a broad range of people.
The Sensemaker is one of the podcasts, and I know it's one that you've worked on. It's a bite-sized look at a piece of news each day, and it goes into a lot of detail. But how do you balance the ethos of Tortoise's slow news and the need to stay topical?
Yeah, it's hard, actually. And what I would say with the Sensemaker podcast is that we have a foot in either camp, I suppose. So that is the Tortoise podcast, which is daily. It's the one that kind of engages with the news cycle the most closely, but it's also narrative. So even each episode of that, we try to have a character, we try to tell a story. You know, the tagline is one story each day to make sense of the world. There are certain things that we're always going to cover immediately. I remember we really rushed to get out an episode about the death of the Queen because the following day there was nothing that anyone else would want to listen to. But rather than doing a kind of news report about what had just happened, which is what everyone else would be doing, instead we looked forward and said, okay, well, what's going to happen next? What does this mean for the country? And what does this mean in practical terms for the process of a funeral and the kind of the country's mourning? What's going to happen over the next couple of days? So I think it's about trying to do up-to-date news, the kind of news that people want to listen to, but in a kind of narrative and fresh way.
It's interesting though, isn't it? I find it interesting that we do live in this world of breaking news and the alerts on your phone and on TV news, particularly the ticker tape that runs along the bottom of the screen. It's so kind of alarming all the time. Everything is breaking news, that something like Tortoise is so appealing to young people. There's obviously an appetite for things that aren't quite so sensational, shall I say?
I mean, yeah, it's nice for you to say that. I hope that's the case. I think we're just all overwhelmed, aren't we? Like, I know that I keep having to have breaks in my social media feeds. I know that sometimes the news can be totally overwhelming, and I think that we appreciate that. And what you want is for people to care about the news and be interested and stay with you. And I think sometimes if you're totally overwhelmed by news stories every 5 minutes, what you don't get is a real understanding about what those stories are telling you. You just get update, update, update. So I think the ability to try to you know, analyze and make sense of those stories in, as far as possible, a calm and collected and objective fashion is the type of thing that I know that people want to listen to and want to read. But what I would say as well is that I think it's the narrative element of Tortoise that I think has really spoken to people. And actually the combination of kind of hard-hitting investigative journalism, breaking news and telling a story does keep people interested.
In terms of the podcast, I listened to various things around the Tortoise app, and there's a lot of clips used, a lot of sound, a lot of music to give it a richness, give it texture, particularly with your series. Tell me about the sound design. Why is that important? How does that shape the podcasts?
Oh, I'm so pleased you asked that, because I think the sound designers that we work with are just phenomenal. And I think they're such an important part of what we do and why I think what we do has been successful. We work with, there's too many to mention, so I'm going to mention two in particular, Tom Kinsella and Carla Patella, who are just extraordinary sound designers. And the work that they do to create a world, there are specific little instances that I can think of that both of them have either taken specific pieces of music as themes that have run through whole series, or there was one moment, it was in an episode of Finding Q, where Tom remixed the sound of a leaf blower that was in the back of a interview into the music that he wrote for the episode, which are just, it was funny and it was smart. And I think they're such a crucial part of creating this world that you hope people are going to spend quite a lot of time in. You have to, you know, some of our series are 6, 8, 10 episodes. You have to keep people with you, but they also have to buy into the world that you're creating. And I think that's, to me anyway, one of the most powerful parts of audio storytelling, is that someone has you and the world that you are creating in their ears. The responsibility on the host and the whoever's writing the script with them is to help them visualize that world. And then that can't work without the work of the sound designers, who then bring that to life and create the entire atmosphere. And I really do think they're such a crucial part of the world that we create and the stories that we tell.
You mentioned there one of the sound designers had written original music, is that right?
Tom Kinsella is a composer, so he composes original music for our podcast. And then Carla Patella is an amazing sound designer who will take an idea and just totally run with it, and always is able to find these perfect bits of music that totally capture the kind of moment that you're trying to share. So Sweet Bobby is one of our series, and she found this just beautiful, creepy little section of music that became the kind of motif throughout the whole series that I don't think the series would have been the success that it was without that moment.
A lot of time, a lot of care is taken into the journalism. And it seems to me a lot of time and care is taken into how the podcasts are shaped. And that includes the soundscapes as well. It's all very considered work, is what I'm trying to say. That's the impression I got from listening to all your work at Tortoise. It was very considered.
Oh, well, thank you for saying that. It's nice to hear that that's how it comes across, because there is a lot of thought that goes into it, as you say. And I think particularly with the sound designers, we work really closely with them. They have their time to go off and work on an episode. Realistically, the time frame that they get totally depends on the type of series that it is. Some series will require a lot more work and other series will be a little bit more light touch. But generally, they do have, we're talking weeks to work on these series rather than, you know, hours or days, because it's such a fundamental and important part of what we do. And even on, for example, the Slow Newscast, generally speaking, a sound designer will have 2 or 3 days, generally 2 days, to work on each episode. And Will, as a producer, I also work as a producer on that series, will be, you know, going back and forth with them, listening to pieces of music, kind of giving feedback along the way. It's a very important part of the whole process.
You can tell, definitely. Finally, I wanted to ask you about things that you've worked on with Tortoise that are maybe a favourite, or that have caused a fundamental change as a result of that piece of journalism.
Well, when it comes to favourites, I'll always be proud to have worked on Sweet Bobby. That was the first series that I worked on. And it was, I think, for me, really instructive in terms of, you know, the power of storytelling and narrative. And it's a podcast that I go back to and re-listen to. And I think of, you know, different producers' decisions and different moments that we created there. The lead producer, Gary Marshall, I think did an unbelievable job throughout that series. From a personal perspective, I worked on an episode of the Sky Newscast last year called Killer Mountain Abandoned on K2. And that was a story about the kind of increase of record-breaking mountain climbing attempts, so particularly on the 8,000 mountain. So there's 14 8,000 meter peaks and people are increasingly climbing them. That was a really in-depth look at an industry that I think a lot of people don't know anything about. It was a kind of investigation into what really happened on the mountain from a huge number of different perspectives. As an episode, because of the audio that we had and the interviews that we had, we were really able to kind of take the listener onto the mountain.
From Bar Peak, you have a great view of K2. And during the night, you see all those headlamps moving up. And there were many climbers on that day. So you could see a snake of lights moving up the mountain. And then all of a sudden, it got stuck. Like, nobody was moving for half an hour. And then nobody was moving, like, for an hour. I think something happened on K2.
Lucas was right. Something had happened on K2. Without knowing, he was watching a story unfold that would travel around the world. I'm Claudia Williams, and this week on the Slow Newscast from Tortoise, we're following those lights in the dark, twisting their way up into the sky on K2, the Savage Mountain. In terms of shifting the dial and changing the dial, I think my colleague Louise Tickle, a lot of her reporting, I've worked on those stories with her, particularly her focus on domestic abuse. We worked in a series in 2021 called Hidden Homicides, which I think has really changed the conversation actually around domestic abuse and the failure by many police forces to properly investigate the sudden and unexplained deaths of women who had known experiences of domestic abuse, and then looking at those deaths and investigating whether actually it wasn't a sudden or unexplained death, it was could have potentially been a homicide. And the kind of point of the series is looking at the lack of data and how our understanding of the scale of domestic abuse deaths in the UK could potentially be drastically underestimating the scale of that problem because of the deaths that aren't included because they've not been investigated properly. I think that's a series that is often mentioned to me as something that really affected people, but has also, I know, opened up conversations with MPs, with police forces, and has kind of propelled more work in this area.
Wow. Well, that's the power of journalism, isn't it? That's the power of this kind of journalism as well. Claudia, it's been lovely to talk to you. Thank you so much for being our guest. If people want to find you and Tortoise Media, how can they do so?
So you can find me on Twitter or X at Claudia Bromley. You can visit the Tortoise website at tortoisemedia.com, and all of our podcasts are available on, you know, your favourite podcast platform, wherever you would like to get them. We also have a Tortoise app. And I should say that, if I'm allowed to include it, that my email address is claudia@tortoisemedia.com. And if you have any stories that you think that we should be covering, please do get in touch because we do like to hear from people.
A big thank you to Claudia Williams from Tortoise Media for being our guest this week. She's really made me think about how I consume the news now. If you have an idea for the podcast, then get in touch at podcast@radioacademy.org. I'd love to hear from you. And if you subscribe to the Radio Academy podcast, then you'll never miss an episode. Next week, we're talking about the ARIAs, what it's like to judge them, and what it's like to get that coveted nomination. I'll see you next week.